Have you heard about the preacher, the priest, and the rabbi who wanted to see which one of them was best at their job? And so they each went into the woods to find a bear and see if they could convert that bear to what they believe. And afterwards, they were to get together and find out all of the results. The preacher, he came back really excited. He said, "I found that bear. I preached to him. Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized. That bear was so convicted that he let me dunk him right there in the river." And the priest said, "Well, that's good. I found a bear. I read to him from the catechism, sprinkled him with holy water, and next week is his first communion." And he was excited about that. And they looked over at the Jewish rabbi. He was black and blue, lying on a stretcher in a full body cast. And they said, "What happened to you?" And he managed to respond, "Well, looking back, maybe I shouldn't have started with the circumcision." Oh, that was bad. We are not called to lead bears to Jesus, obviously, but we are called to lead people to Jesus. And we've talked about that all through 2024. And here we are, the last Sunday of this year, one more sermon on this theme, Mission Possible. And I hope that you have gathered into your heart and into your mind the challenge of going and reaching people for Jesus. The world desperately needs a Savior. I was looking at an article from the New York Times that was referencing a study that showed that children between the ages of 2 and 4 average 8 fights per hour. And I see some parents, yep. And I just spent a week with my grandkids, and I'm thinking, yeah, that may not be far from the truth. If you do the math, assuming those kids are up for at least 12 hours a day, that would be 96 fights a day. And more than 35,000 fights per year. It's no wonder young moms and dads are feeling tired. And it's not just a problem that's happening in the home, this problem of fighting. It's happening all around us. All we have to do is take a look at the world, and we see that the world is fighting. In 2023, just a year ago, the United Nations recorded 170 armed conflicts worldwide. That included 117 million people who were displaced from their homes due to those conflicts, and 162,000 people were killed. That was a year ago, and 2024 hadn't gotten any better. It's only added to the problem. Right now, we have the highest number of countries engaged in conflict since World War II. 92 nations are fighting outside of their borders in some way. Wouldn't you agree with me that the world needs a Savior? The world needs a Savior, and we have that Savior. The question is, will we share with the world that Savior? Are we going to believe that the mission is indeed possible, and are we going to get in on the mission ourselves? That's what he's calling us to. Let me give to you in this final sermon of this series 4 promises that should encourage you and me to get in on the mission. First promise is this: Jesus said, I will be with you. And that's a promise that should boost our confidence. He said this to his disciples as he's getting ready to ascend into heaven. He said, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And lo, I am with you, and continue to teach them all the commandments that I have given to you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. He did not send us on this mission alone. He's saying, I'm going to be with you. Not part of the time, not just some of the time, but I am going to be with you all of the time, until the end of the age. In other words, there will never be a time that you try to witness to someone that Jesus won't be with you. And keep in mind, this is the one who spoke the worlds into existence. This is the one who came here and overcame every temptation that Satan could throw at him. This is the same Jesus who raised Lazarus from the dead after he had been in the tomb for 4 days. This is the one who gave sight to the blind, and he raised up the lame to walk, and he cast out demons from those who were possessed. This same Jesus says, I will be with you when you go on this mission that I'm giving to you. When you go and try to share the good news with someone else about me, I'm going to be with you every step of the way. And we've got to grab hold of that promise, understanding that he will be with us when we speak to our family members. He will be with us when we go and talk to our coworkers. He will be with us when we go to our neighbors. Young people, he will be with you when you speak to your classmates at school. He said, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. And remember, he's never broken a promise one time. When he tells us that he will be with us, we can know that to be true. There will never be a time that we will be left alone. Here's the second promise that Jesus gives to us, that it should encourage us in our witnessing. He said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And that promise is in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You can read it on the screen behind me as I have it there for you. That same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the power that the Holy Spirit brings to us to help us in our witnessing. Think about this. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us. And he will never leave us. He is with us 24/7, and that means his power is in us. That very power that can change lives, it's in us, and it's available for us as we witness. That word for power in the original language is the word dunamis. And you may imagine what English word might be derived from that. Dunamis or dynamite. That's the English word derived from dunamis. The Holy Spirit brings to us dynamite kind of power in our witnessing. So I want to encourage you to be willing to testify to others what Jesus has done for you. Share with others how Jesus has given you hope. Share with others how Jesus has given you direction and purpose in your life. Has he changed your life for the better? If so, tell the world about that. Tell your story, how he has brought you out of the darkness into the light. Share with Jesus how he has brought you through hard times. I mean, all of us go through hard times. I'm looking at the Anderson family in the back, and they have gone through hardship for several weeks, and they have a story to tell. And a lot of us have a story to tell. And we need to tell that story and let the Holy Spirit and His dunamis power be in us and be working through us. And please understand this, the power is not in us. The power is in Him who lives in us. But He does need for us to speak up. He needs for us to tell our story. He needs for us to speak the truth. And then He will take that which we speak and He will use it to stir other people's hearts for Jesus. And He will bring them to a point of conviction. Think about this. Peter and the other apostles, they were just ordinary men. They were uneducated men. And yet the Holy Spirit filled them and used them in such a powerful way to touch other people. And He can do the same with you and me. We don't have to be super talented. We don't have to be super gifted kind of people. We just need to be ourselves. And we need to be surrendered to Him. We need to be broken before Him and crying out to Him for help and humble before Him. And if we are that way, then He can fill us up with His dunamis kind of power and use us beyond our capabilities. And you might be saying, I don't think God can use me. Yes, He can. He can use you. He can use any of us if we are willing to speak in His behalf. Here's a third promise that should encourage us to get involved in our witness in witnessing for Jesus. And the promise is this. Jesus said, I will lead you in what to say. Let me read to you from Luke chapter 12. Verses 11 and 12. Jesus is speaking to His disciples. He says, when they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, do not worry about how or what you are to speak in your defense or what you are to say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. Wow. Now, I do know that was said specifically to the disciples of Jesus, but I know this too. Jesus hasn't changed. The Holy Spirit hasn't changed a bit since then. And just as He was willing and able to move in the lives of those disciples of Jesus and help them to know what to say at the right moment, at the right time, He's willing to work through us in that same manner. He is willing to speak through us. He's willing to use us. I don't know the number of times that I've been talking with someone and I've said something to them, maybe an answer to a question, and I've thought to myself, even as I said it, where in the world did that come from? Because I knew in my mind and heart, that's better than what I could come up with on my own. And I knew that the Holy Spirit was in me and He was leading me and helping me in what to say. And He will do the same for you as well. If you're willing to speak up on His behalf, He will speak through you. He'll help you. Proverbs calls it a fitting word like apples of gold in settings of silver. Think about that. It's good when we follow the Spirit's lead and say what He wants us to say. It's not so good when we don't follow the Spirit's lead. A few weeks ago, a lady walked up to my son-in-law, Luke, in Indianapolis. He's a pastor at a large church there, and one of his members walked up to him, and she said this, "Now I know how you felt when your son died, because I have two cats, and I had to put one of them down this last week." "But I'm going to see Gus again," she said. Gus is the cat. And I'm thinking, it's not so good when we don't follow the Spirit's lead. It is good, though, when we do follow the Spirit's lead. And that should be our prayer. God, would you help me to follow the Spirit's lead? Dear Holy Spirit, would you speak through me? Would you speak words of life through me? Words of truth? Lord, I desperately need you to guide me. That should be our prayer. And if you will pray that kind of prayer, that's the kind of prayer God loves to answer. He loves to be with you and to guide you and to help you in your witnessing encounters. Look with me at Acts chapter 4, verses 8 through 13. Acts chapter 4, beginning with verse 8. Reading through verse 13, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers and elders of the people, if we are on trial today for a benefit done to a sick man as to how this man has been made well, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this name this man stands here before you in good health. He is the stone which was rejected by you, the builders, but which became the chief cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved.' Now, as they observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus." This is a great moment in Peter's life where he is saying the exact right thing at the exact right time. And notice where it all started. You go back to verse 8, it says that he was filled with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit obviously was leading Peter in what to say. And we know this was not Peter's nature. We've seen his story up until this point where he was really good at sticking his foot in his mouth. But now he has the Holy Spirit in him. And he's standing before the Sanhedrin council, the very council that has killed Jesus, and they're wanting to put Peter and John to death, and they're threatening Peter and John. And Peter says, "We cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. There's just one way to be saved, and that's through Jesus, the very fellow that you killed." That's Holy Spirit dunamis. That's Holy Spirit power in Peter. That's what was making the difference between the new Peter and the old Peter. The Holy Spirit was giving him exactly the words that he needed to say at the exact moment. And he'll do the same for you and for me. I have one final promise that should encourage us to get in on God's great mission. And this promise is from God Himself. He says, "My word will not return to me void." Look at Isaiah chapter 55, verses 10 and 11. Isaiah chapter 55, 10 and 11. These four promises that I've given to you today, you really ought to underline them in your Bible and be reminded of them in the days ahead. Be encouraged by them. This one out of Isaiah 55, "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bare and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word which goes forth from my mouth, it will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it." That is a great promise. Just as the earth is watered by the rain and the snow, and because of that moisture, then a fruit is produced, so too God's word will have its intended purpose upon people's lives. Hear me say this: when you sow the truth of God's word into a person's heart, and then you wait, just as the farmer waits, that seed of God's word will take root and it will grow and it will eventually produce a harvest. And that's why you have people who are giving testimony. You've heard their testimony. I've waited for 10 20, 30 years. I've prayed for my loved one for that many years, and I've talked to them, and it's taken them that long, and finally they've come to know Jesus. It's this promise right here from Isaiah chapter 55. God says, "My word will not return void to me. It will accomplish what I have intended it to do." So plant the seed. Plant the truth. Tell your story of what God has done for you. And God says, "My word will not return void without accomplishing what I intended for it to accomplish." One preacher said this of this book: "It stands through the ages, outlasting dynasties and empires. It is a blessing to those who revere it. It purifies the lives of those who obey it. It is a written indictment on those who ignore it. This book is food for the soul, sweeter than honey. It is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. It is powerful in its influence, sharp in its cut, soft in its mercy. This book is a devouring flame, a crushing hammer, a piercing blade, a life-giving force, a defensive weapon, a probing instrument that splits bone and marrow, cutting those who hear it to the heart. Its words are sacred. Its promises are sure. It contains seed for the sower that will not come back empty." And so please, all of us, as we turn the chapter on 24 to a new year, and we've spent a lot of time on mission possible, let's not forget what God has called us to. From Mark's gospel, Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. And I have promises for you if you'll go. I will be with you. I will lead you in what to say. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And my word will not return void." The mission is very possible. Let's pray together. Lord, we've had a whole year of preaching. on this theme, Mission Possible. May your word not return void without accomplishing what you desire. And so, Lord, help us to tell the message. Help us to tell our story. Help us to give our testimony. Help us to share what Jesus has done for us and what he can do for the whole world. There are certainly our lost people all around us. May our eyes be open, our hearts be soft and bold. May you go before us, preparing the way, opening the door. And may we wait after we have spoken and pray and wait some more and see the harvest come about. In Jesus' name, amen.